This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
In the course of doing this job in six or seven different places over many years, more years than I probably should admit to, you meet some people you like. Our next guest, I crossed paths with him because he was working in Salt Lake City. Now he's covering Texas football, the Longhorns, Steve Sarkisian. He's in the playoff. Oregon's in the playoff. I might get to see Josh Newman in a press box this season. He is joining us. He's now at LoneStarLive.com. He is covering Texas football like none other. And they've got Clemson in the opening round and Josh Newman joining us now. How you doing, man? You got a cowboy hat on?
Nah, no cowboy hat, no boots, no spurs, no belt buckle. I'll tell you what, you walk into a coffee shop in like suburban Austin, Texas, as a Northeasterner, it is jarring, John, to see people in cowboy hats still. I have not gotten used to it quite yet.
Feel like you're in a Western, you know? Are they packing guns and holsters and stuff, or just big belt buckles and a lot of show?
Yeah, no, you're not seeing many firearms, thankfully. I think once or twice in, you know, a supermarket, gun on a holster, and, you know, that part of it's not for me. But thankfully, there hasn't been too much of that for me.
Give us an idea, because that was a really rabid fan base you covered at Utah, and now this Texas fan base. How does that atmosphere, their indoctrination in the SEC, typical Longhorns fan, big game day, how is it different for you?
Yeah, so I got here at the end of last season. Like, my first assignment was the Big 12 championship game. And then, you know, they won that. They go to the playoff. It was four teams, of course. They go to the Sugar Bowl. I cover that. So that was, like, my first foray into covering Texas football. And I think when, you know, the real eye-opening thing for me was the offseason. It was every day there was just interest, no matter what it was. You know, a three-star kid commits, a new defensive line coach comes. Just there's so much interest in everything that's going on, and that's not what Utah was, right? You know, I do agree with you, Utah, rabid fan base, but that is not a 24/7, 365 fan base at Utah. That is a Wednesday to Sunday fan base, right? Like, lead up to the game, the day after on Sunday, and then everybody kind of calms down on like Mondays and Tuesdays. Not the case here. So that was the off season, and then, you know, of course, as you said, right, the maiden voyage, right, through the SEC. They had enough coming into this season where you thought that they could at least contend for the SEC title, right? Quinn Ewers at quarterback. The entire offensive line back, they reloaded at wide receiver in the portal after some guys left for the NFL. It's an elite defensive backfield, loaded secondary. So it's been interesting. It's been it's been fun. It's been a lot. And, from a personal standpoint, I'm looking forward to covering a college football playoff. I'm excited.
This team draws Clemson in the opening round game. It'll be a home game. But how are people viewing that matchup? How do you view that matchup for Texas?
Yeah, I mean, I think, Joe Average fan is not skeptical, but I mean, I think you look at Clemson and two things jump out immediately. Cade Klubnik is a gamer, right? The quarterback for Clemson. He's not elite. He doesn't have elite size, but he just has, he has the stuff, and he's dangerous. And he's an Austin kid, right? He went to Westlake High School, right? A high school power here in Central Texas. So that's, you know, that's one big storyline. And I think another storyline here is I don't think anybody really wants to be facing Dabo Swinney in, you know, a tournament elimination game type of situation, because of course Dabo has been to the college football playoff, you know, four or five times, has won two national championships. So, you know, and I, you know, look, I agree with Joe Average Fan in that Texas is probably going to win this game. I think Texas has too much for Clemson. You know, if Texas can get a little healthier than they were late in the regular season, right, this, you know, this this two-week stretch between the SEC championship game and the first-round game on December 21st, critical for getting some guys healthy. If they show up and if the run game shows up, which is, you know, never a certainty here this season, if the run game shows up and you can take some of the pressure off Quinn Ewers, I think they will eventually lean on Clemson and they'll get it done. But I think there's enough there where you have to kind of pause and think that they can lose this game. I don't think they're going to, but Texas can lose this game. Clemson has enough where they can get this done. I just don't think that's going to happen.
With the two losses to Georgia, is there a little something on Sark here in needing to beat Clemson and kind of not have that first round, oh, you got upset, you know, narrative hanging over him?
A little bit, just because of the way, look, not so much the first Georgia game, right? Look, you got outclassed by, you know, by Georgia that first game, but the second game, you were just completely in control during the first half. They outgained Georgia almost 5-1 yardage-wise, and they led 6-3, right? They had two drives, you know, go inside the Clemson 25, came away with no points. They had four first-half drives, three of them ended in plus territory with no points. You were penalized 11 times, missed field goals. So just the way that game went down left a sour taste in everybody's mouth. Now, if you go out and you lose in the first round of the playoff to Clemson as the higher seed at home with a veteran team, with a third-year starting quarterback, I think the way that this, you know, first season in the SEC will be remembered will be radically different. All things being equal, I don't think you would call 11-3. If they lost, they would be 11-3. I don't think you call 11-3 and a trip to the SEC title game and a trip to playoff. I don't think you call that a failure, but this is one of those schools, Texas, where the mandate is championships. That is the expectation. That is what they're giving Steve Sarkisian all this money for, right? He's making, you know, north of $10 million now. Your NIL situation is what you need it to be. The mandate is championships. So if you lose in the first round here, coming off the way you lost to Georgia, the way this season gets remembered will not be put in a positive light by anybody.
We are talking to Josh Newman, who covers Texas football. You can now read him at LoneStarLive.com. You brought up Quinn Ewers. There's just been a lot of talk this week about what is he going to do next year with the draft, or is he leaving for another school, or what's the latest on Ewers?
Yeah, it's very simple. So this season is going to end whenever it ends, and he is going to declare for the NFL draft. The plan going back to when he was a junior in high school, okay, at South Lake Carroll High School near Dallas, was he's going to go to college. And he's going to be a three-year guy, right? You have to stay in college for a minimum of 3 years before you are draft eligible, and he's going to go through the draft. That timeline kind of shifted a bit. Last year was year three. He was injured again, right? He's been injury-prone. He's had some shoulder trouble. He's had, like, a strained oblique this year, ankle this year. So last year, you thought he was going to go, thought he was going to leave, and then, you know, he didn't have a great season. He was hurt. Cooler heads prevailed. Okay, he did not declare for the draft. He decided to come back one more year. He's not coming back for a fifth year of college. And there's all this rumor mongering out there about, well, he's not gonna play at Texas next year, but maybe he could hit the portal, play a fifth year somewhere else, get a huge NIL number, and play one more year of college. That's not happening. This season is gonna end. He's going to go to the NFL draft, and the keys to the Texas offense will be turned over full time to Arch Manning. And I think a big reason, and again, you look, Quinn Ewers, smart family, his agents are savvy, they've been doing this a long time. I think there's a clear understanding that this is a weak draft class for quarterbacks. If you're going to go, you need to go now, because next year's draft class projects as stronger than this one. In this draft class, you could be a you know, potentially late first-round pick, at worst an early day two pick. So he's going to the NFL draft. And the rumor stuff that's been going on this week, people are bored. We need to play this game so we can move on to something a little more relevant, John.
I love it. Will we see more Arch Manning because of that? I mean, Sark has been a little hesitant to hand the keys over, but you know, given that Ewers is going, might we see a little more Arch?
It's a good question, and it's a fair question. You know, we went into the Texas A&M game not like surprised, but like, you know, the first time they went into the red zone at Texas A&M, Arch comes in, takes a shotgun snap, goes to his left, 16-yard touchdown, he dove for it, and the entire complexion of what the offense could be changed, okay? It's Quinn Ewers' offense. He's the starting quarterback. Steve Sarkisian is going to keep Quinn Ewers as the starting quarterback, but once that play happened, okay, you now have to account for the possibility that Manning is going to show up once they hit the red zone. And he had a couple more red zone snaps at Texas A&M. We get to the SEC championship game. Texas goes into the red zone. Here comes Arch Manning. And look, you cover Steve Sarkisian, right? You know Steve Sarkisian. He is an elite play caller. You know, they get into the red zone against Georgia, and it's a direct snap to a running back. Yeah. Through Arch Manning's legs, right? Like he acted as a decoy. And this is just a long way of saying, again, you have to account for the possibility that Manning is going to show up once they hit the red zone. I don't think you're going to see, like, yours benched. I don't think you're going to see Manning play more than, I don't know, 8 or 10 snaps. Even 8 or 10 feels high. But I think you're going to see Arch Manning in some fashion against Clemson, but it's not going to be the extended look that a lot of fans want to see at this point.
Silas Bolden, former Oregon State guy, I expected him to be a little more impactful. You know, he pops up here or there. I see him here or there, but a little underwhelming with his numbers this year. What happened with Silas?
Yeah, you know, I was pretty optimistic that he was going to be like a big piece of the puzzle. He's been, I mean, a roller coaster. There have been moments where he is back there to return a punt, and he is fielding punts like inside the 10. And he's getting tackled at the 8, and we're looking like, what are you doing? And then he has punt against Texas A&M, where he fields it, makes a guy miss, like zooms up the sideline for 45 yards, and they're in plus territory. So he's been a bit of a roller coaster. In his defense, the wide receiver room is very loaded. There's at least 2 NFL-caliber guys on the outside. Their slot, DeAndre Moore, is a sophomore. He's probably a pro also. So it was a pretty loaded wide receiver room to begin with. Then you add into the fact that he missed spring ball. Okay, he couldn't show up until late summer because he was finishing coursework at Oregon State. So even when he showed up here, he was a little bit behind the 8 ball. But to your point, yeah, I thought you would get a little more out of Silas Bolden, if not as a receiver, as a return specialist, but that just has not panned out.
Josh, let's look at the bracket together. I see Georgia in the bottom of the bracket. I Clemson, Oregon, Ohio State in that top side of the bracket. I think that Texas, Ohio State, Oregon bracket is so much more dicey, tougher bracket. I think Oregon got a bad draw. But what were your takeaways when the bracket came out and you kind of looked at it?
Yeah, I mean, I remember my initial, like, immediate knee-jerk reaction was, that's a good draw for Texas. Again, as the SEC runner-up, they finished ranked number 3, but because of how the seeding works, they finished seeded number 5. So they are the highest-ranked team to not win a conference title, which means you get the lowest-ranked conference champion if you get to the second round, right? So they'll play, they'll play Clemson. You know, we talk about Clemson. I think they'll deal with Clemson, and then you get Arizona State in the Peach Bowl at Atlanta. In Atlanta, and I don't know, like, I watched Arizona State, I understand what they do, and that they are dangerous, but they don't have the personnel that Texas has. And I'm talking about all spots on the field. I mean, I've sort of like semi-looked at a Texas-Arizona State matchup. Texas is at an advantage at almost every position. Now, Arizona State would, be coming off a long layoff, and they've got the rest, and they've got the bye. I think Texas would have too much for Arizona State. And then to me, Texas's CFP run here kind of starts in earnest, potentially, at the Cotton Bowl in a semifinal against Oregon. And I wrote this last week. If it's Texas-Oregon, I think there's enough to be concerned with lately from Texas that it would take something, pretty Herculean for them to beat Oregon. And I say that knowing that the Cotton Bowl is in Arlington, 2.5 hours from Austin. It would essentially be, a quasi-Texas home game at Jerry World. That one strikes me as a little too much to handle. But, again, home crowd, who knows? Taking everything into account and just based on how the second Georgia game went, I think that Texas's draw couldn't really have panned out much, much better based on, what their resume was. Look, they have zero wins against top 25 teams this year. Zero. And they still got that seeding and that ring. So I don't think I don't think things could have turned out any better than they did for Texas bracket-wise.
You have such a unique vantage point because you were a guy who was covering the Pac-12 just a couple seasons ago. You're aware of what's going on in the western part of the United States, and now you're down in SEC country with a team that has moved from the Big 12 to the SEC. So you've kind of seen the spectrum. Help us with what happened in the SEC this season. Is that conference, is there just a lot of parity? Are there some teams that are down? Is it that everybody's just good and it's hard to, to not lose two or three games? What's going on in the SEC?
I didn't really believe, some people believe that, there is more parity in the SEC. I don't necessarily believe that. Alabama is dealing with a new head coach and a lead head coach in Kalen DeBoer, but a new head coach nonetheless. And there were going to be some bumps and there were going to be some bruises. So Alabama has not been the Alabama that we know. You have a team like Vanderbilt on the come up. They beat Alabama. That came out of nowhere. Georgia, I think for much of the season, looked pretty mortal compared to what they've been the last 3, 4, 5 years under Kirby Smart. For most of the season, Georgia looked pretty beatable, right? They should have lost to Georgia Tech before that game went to eight overtimes. Florida struggled early. DJ Lagway got healthy. They woke up. They were a tough out. Oklahoma was not good for most of the season. They beat Alabama. So it's like, what do you want to, parity? I don't really agree that it's parity. Teams are up. Teams are down. There's coaching changes. I didn't think that, how do I say this? Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Texas's schedule, the SEC did Texas a real favor with a schedule. Because if you look back, if you take Georgia out of, conversation, having to play Georgia during the regular season, I mean, it was not exactly murderer's row, right? Mississippi State at home, Kentucky at home, a down Oklahoma team at the Cotton Bowl. They caught Florida here in Austin without DJ Lagway, right? They were playing a third-string quarterback that Florida trotted out there. So, Texas probably, rose to the occasion in terms of what we thought they would be, right? You finished 7-1 against the SEC. The one is against Georgia. You were the betting favorite in the rest of them, right? You went on the road to Texas A&M. You took care of that. You went to Arkansas for the first time in a generation. You took care of that. So, it wasn't the SEC that we've all come to appreciate, but I don't think it was parity, frankly.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that Cotton Bowl. I would love to see you get there. I want you to have been on this show, I think, 2 or 3 years ago we started doing this, and I appreciate having you back. It's great to have you back on the show, Josh. I appreciate you doing this.
I appreciate you, Don. It's good to talk to you.
LoneStarLive.com, Josh Newman. Follow Texas football. You can follow Newman there. Leave it here. Coming up, what's on tap?
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO commercial insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.